This is Ag Economic Insights. I'm Joe Gangwish. We're coming back to talk about global grain inventories and China. We're back on the program this week with David Widmar, co-owner of Ag Economic Insights. So, David, I like how you start your blog this week summarizing the current focus on the grain markets with three phases: low prices, large crops, and growing inventories. So talk about grain inventories in the U.S. and how China comes into play.
Yeah, great to join you today, Joe. As you said, we're going to talk about global grain inventories and the role that China has played. Grain inventories has been in the headlines and in the national spotlight for quite a while now, in the U.S. and abroad. The U.S. is set to raise its another consecutive large crop of both corn and soybeans, and it's also been a big wheat crop as well. So when we think about global grain inventories, in this week's post, we looked at ending stocks relative to usage, ending stocks to use ratio for corn, soybeans, and wheat all the way back to 1960. And it's really important that we look at ending stocks relative to usage because we keep growing larger crops and we keep using more crops. It's important to keep that ratio in mind. When we looked at corn, we saw that recently stocks at the global level are at 20% of usage, and that's quite a bit higher than levels that we've seen in, say, the past decade. In 2010, ending stocks globally reached a low of 14%. And that's got a lot of people in a lot of the markets watching that number creep higher towards 20%. It's worth noting, however, back in the 1990s, grain stocks were considerably higher than even today's levels. They were more like 25 to 30%. So in corn, we're at highs for the past 10 years or so, but we're not nearly as high as we were, say, 20, 25 years ago.
Talk about China and how we adjust these global stocks for China stocks.
Yeah, so one of the things that we noticed when we dug into the data is that China is a large consumer of grain. And so by association, they'd have a large amount of grain inventories that they're using and holding on to from a time-to-time basis. The first thing we looked at is what was China's share of global stocks. What we saw is that for corn and wheat, China held about 45% of the global stocks out there in wheat. For soybeans, it's more like 20%. So when you think about all these global stocks that are out there that the market's concerned about, China's holding a very large share. The second thing to think about is, will China export any of these grains? They might for corn. The market talks about that a lot. There's kind of a lot of speculation that they might export corn. But let's just hold on and say, what if they don't export grain? What if they're just a consumer of grain? And when we look at the ending stocks-to-use ratio and we hold out that China number and kind of say that China is not going to export these, we see a pretty tight ending stock-to-use ratio globally. In fact, we've seen a downward trend since, say, 2005 in global stocks when we pull that China figure out.
Let's wrap it up. When you think about grain inventories and global ending stocks, what do we need to keep in mind?
Yeah, so what we're looking at is that while global stocks are higher than they were in the past, say, 5, 6, 7 years, for corn and wheat, we're not as high as we were in the 90s. We're not as high as we were in the 1980s. And some comfort can be taken in that. So while we're pushing up against large crops, they're not as large as with a historic perspective. So the second thing to keep in mind is that China is actually holding on to a lot of these stocks. And it actually has been an upward trend since about 2005. China's been growing the share of stocks they've been holding for corn and wheat and soybeans. So that's another important thing to think about. Not all of this grain is being traded and available to the global export and import market. So finally, when we actually kind of adjust for China, we have some pretty tight stocks in the world, not record low stocks, but definitely a tighter situation than what might be perceived at this kind of first glance pass at the data.
That is David Widmar, co-owner of Ag Economic Insights, with this week's program. If you'd like more information, go to ageconomist.com. And if you'd like to hear this program again, go to the audio video tab at ruralradio.com. I'm Joe Gangwish with Ag Economic Insights.